fans, welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood. We are all sort of stationed around Soldier Field right now, wrapping up week one of the Packers 2023 season and the debut of the Jordan Love era, where the Packers have won 38-20 against the Bears. And a couple of those Bear scores were in garbage time, so something to take into account there as well. Guys, I want to start with both of y'all just kind of getting your, of course, overarching, you know, 30,000-foot view of the game before we get into some specifics. But I'm going to tee you up this thought. As guys were coming off the field, I was standing in the tunnel watching, and Devondre Campbell, Devontae Wyatt, and then even in the locker room, Kenny Clark, a couple of different guys, all made a comment about nobody thought we would win. Everybody counted us out. Is that just bulletin board material that the coaches used to motivate them? I felt like there were a lot of unknowns about both of these teams, but how many people were really counting out the Packers? Keep that in mind, I guess, as you share with us your overarching view of the game. Spoon, we'll start with you.
I think I got that sense that that was a defensive thing, that, you know, they've been maligned as a defense, and that nobody kind of expects that much from them this year. But that is kind of a very common, you know, rallying cry in locker rooms, that nobody cares about us. Nobody believes in us. Well, yeah. Okay, that's good. Now let's see what happens when they do believe in you. Can you carry it forward? It was a good overall first performance. I think we talked about it in the podcast last week. I mentioned, you know, they have to start out being the more physical team. You know, they have to establish themselves as a physical team in this division, you know, if they want to compete with the 49ers, the Lions. I mean, if they were watching the Kansas City Lions game on Thursday, then they got an idea of, you know, what the season's going to be like. And I thought they came out and, at least for the Bears, they looked like they were the team that was more physical and really a better overall team.
Yeah, right. I think that more is a maybe no one believes that this is going to be a winning season, because I picked the Packers to win today. I think both of you did too, right? Mm-hmm. You guys picked the Packers? I think a lot of people are picking the Packers. And I'll be honest, I wasn't picking the Packers mostly for the Packers. I was picking the Packers because the Bears suck, and they have for a long time. It just is what it is. And to me, what happened at Soldier Field today says a heck of a lot more about the Bears than it does the Packers. I don't know if we learned a whole lot about the Packers. This is devastating for Chicago. This is the third season with Justin Fields. He's a first-round pick. He's their future. He looked terrible today. Jordan Love completely outplayed him in his second NFL start. This was Justin Fields' 28th NFL start. From a Packers side, it reminds me a lot of 38-3 New Orleans Saints 2 years ago. Weird things can happen in an opener. The Saints beat the Packers in 2021, start of the season, 38-3 win. That Saints team ended up with a 9-8 record. They lost five games, had a five-game losing streak in that season. I don't know yet if the Packers are good, how good they are, what the season's going to be for them. This is as demoralizing, I think, as deflating of a loss that the Bears could possibly have. It's a new chapter. It's a new era for the Packers. Same thing. I asked Aaron Jones after the game, what kind of statement do you think this sends to the Bears, to your rival? He said, nothing's changed. We're still the Packers. Yeah, that's what it looked like. That game looked like just about every other Packers-Bears game that you've seen for most of the past 30 years. So it says a lot about Chicago. What it says about the Packers going forward, I think we'll find out. They've got another winnable game next week in Atlanta. This is a pretty soft schedule. There's a lot of opportunities for wins out there. They're also a really young team. I think that on the whole of the season, they're going to have to at times learn from losing. And if they can do that, I think that they'll have a pretty good year. But long way to go for them. It could not have started possibly better than it did today.
nothing's changed. We're still the Packers. That's building off of what Aaron Rodgers did to this team for 15 years. So let's focus on Jordan Love and what he did to this team today. Again, the caveat that this is week one, at least in the first half, you know, even with pretty solid offensive line play, Yannick Ngakoue was getting in the backfield a decent bit and sort of pressuring Jordan Love. We saw him play through that. And, you know, other players all said, you know, the second half was really where we kind of settled in. Again, the other caveat to that, he was without Christian Watson today. Romeo Doubs had not really practiced much other than in the past 2 weeks, other than Thursday and Friday, which were not a padded practice. And was playing with a lot of rookies out there. Jordan Love's final stats, though, through the air, 15 of 27 for 245 yards and 3 touchdowns. One of those 3 passing touchdowns was a screen to Aaron Jones where he did all the work for 35 yards. And then he also added 3 rushes for 12 yards on the ground. He said afterwards that he told his agent this morning he was ready to run somebody over. And his agent said, please slide. And he was like, that's not going to happen. So just Jordan Love's mentality coming into this game, the way he played, and we'll get into some specifics here overall, but just I think the biggest thing that can happen with Love, and we maybe saw it happen a little bit in Kansas City, is you can start to play scared, you know, especially if they're getting into the backfield. Did you get that sense from Love, Ryan, and what do you make of sort of just his approach, even when playing with a bunch of really, really young guys in this game today?
What had to be really demoralizing for the Bears and just incredibly impressive from Jordan Love's standpoint, he on 3rd and 4th down, he was 8 for 10, 141 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a perfect 158.3 rating. Obviously, the 4th and 3 to Aaron Jones out of the backfield was the big play because it went for 35 yards and a touchdown. But I thought Jordan Love's poise was what was most impressive to me. And that's the thing that since the Aaron Rodgers trade, since the owners' meetings before the Aaron Rodgers trade, Matt LaFleur has been really emphasizing is that for a young quarterback, this is a guy who's really poised. I mean, how many young quarterbacks making their second NFL start will fumble the snap? And I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. And he finds his rookie tight end wide open for almost 40 yards down the left side. His ability to take the game as it came to him, to not, you know, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, not make mistakes and make plays that were there. I mean, I think, you know, he had 2 opportunities to hit a deep ball in the first half. That deep ball is going to still, you know, he overthrew Samari Torre, overthrew Luke Musgrave on a play that would have been a touchdown. That deep ball is going to have to develop more, but his ability to, as a young quarterback, to play the game with poise and composure really stood out to me today.
Spoon, it's never as good as it looks. It's never as bad as it looks. So what's sort of the median takeaway of what Jordan Love did versus the Bears?
A couple things. One, he didn't turn the ball over. That was number one. Even when he had a screwed up snap, he made something out of that play. Number two, the players around him played their butts off. I mean, the offensive line was outstanding. He had plenty of time. The catch Romeo Doubs made in the end zone was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Over Tyreek Stevenson. Even the move he had to get open in front of Eddie Jackson was pretty good. Love made a decent throw, but Aaron Jones turning those 2 passes into huge gains, won a touchdown. He just had to get the ball in the hands of some of those guys. Jaden Reed was wide open on that corner route. Beautiful route. That's a ball we've seen them hit all camp long. You know, it was like watching training camp. That corner route that Jaden Reed runs all the time and usually was beating Keyshawn Nixon on. I think there was all kinds of he got all kinds of help from people on the day of his biggest game of his career to this point. And so there's going to be days when they're going to need him more than, you know, he needed them today. So from that standpoint, you know, he got the ball in his playmaker's hands and let it go from there.
I want to focus a little bit on something that went wrong, though. The end of the first half, they were in field goal range. They got the ball in great territory. In fact, let me pull up the possession chart right here. I want to say they got the ball on their own 44, so around midfield, and get down into Chicago territory. And, I mean, at this point, just come away with a field goal. And Love takes a sack on the second down, seemingly knocks them out of field goal range. That was something that after the game, Jordan Love took the blame for. But then Love and the offense were kind of lackadaisical getting to the line, and they thought, seemingly they thought that the timeout was being called because the Packers had a timeout left. More than 15 seconds run off the clock. They end up having to call a timeout with, you know, I think 4 seconds left. Luckily, Anders Carlson, you know, saved Matt LaFleur there and kicked a 57-yard field goal. Is that just one of those things, though, that's like – and part of that was LaFleur. LaFleur took the blame for not getting the play in quick enough and having to waste that timeout there. Is that something, Spoon, that will just kind of come with awareness, like for Love and LaFleur, but mostly Love, of like, you know, end of half, 2 minute field position, can't take a sack, like, and that's stuff that on paper you know, but it, actually putting it into practice in a game, is that something that just comes with time?
Yeah, it's just a boneheaded mistake. Now, I was dealing with the live blog took a dump right about then, and so I didn't really watch too closely as to what happened. I just kind of saw the play-by-play afterwards. Well, I did see him get sacked. I don't know what happened and you know, what the circumstances were, but yeah, you can't do it. It was a dumb rookie-type mistake. You know, you can't let that kind of stuff happen, and you can't cost your team points like that, and that's what happened.
Another thing I want to focus on with just where Love might could grow. Ryan, we've talked so much in the offseason about his deep ball. There were a couple of different times today where it seemed like it was wide open for a huge game. I want to go back and watch one to Luke Musgrave, because I thought Luke Musgrave stumbled off the line or got held up off the line, and that messed up his timing. That being said, same question. Is that something that comes more with time?
Yeah, it's the same that we saw all through camp. And it's probably not surprising for a really young and experienced quarterback. That's usually one of the last things to come. It's going to need to come. We'll see if it does come. In the long haul picture, the long-term view picture, that in a lot of ways will determine the ceiling for Jordan Love. I mean, it's very clear he's got a great grasp of Matt LaFleur's offense. Again, I mentioned the poise and his ability to come back from mistakes like that is very evident. His ability to hit short intermediate routes, get the ball to his playmakers, take the yards that are there. Those are things that Jordan Love does very well. When you go against the Bears, you can get away with things like, you know, missing a couple touchdowns on deep balls. When you go against the Kansas City Chiefs, which are coming to Lambeau Field late in the season, you cannot. To win a Super Bowl, you cannot. You have to make big plays down the field. That's what the Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrows, the top quarterbacks in the league are able to do that. But the fact that it's not there week one is probably understandable. It's just something to keep an eye on and see if it does develop as this season progresses.
Let's go to those that were around him. Aaron Jones was really only a part of three drives. He was only really a major factor of three drives today, meaning that's when the play calls went to him. All three of those drives ended in a touchdown. Two that were scored by him. One was the first touchdown to Romeo Doubs, but Aaron Jones is really who got him there. That being said, again, only really a part of three drives. Is that just saving him? Is that one of those things where you're just like shaking your head going, why are they not getting the ball in Aaron Jones' hands more? You know, I said before the game, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends this game as the leading receiver and the leading rusher. And actually, I don't think that happened. He did. Okay, so I was right about that. But it could have been so much more relative to what it was. Ryan, what kind of impact did he have today on the positive, and why do you think he was not used more?
Yeah, it's funny. I asked Aaron Jones after the game. I was like, man, I'm bad at math, but U equal touchdowns. That's the math I can do, because the three drives that he touched the ball, they all scored in touchdowns, and he didn't get the – after five carries on the opening drive, he did not touch the ball again in the rest of the first half. They did not get back to the end zone. It's come out in the second half, those first two drives. He's got three carries the first four plays of the second half. The fifth play was the 51-yard screen. 1 yard touchdown plunge, and then on the next drive it ends with the 4th and 3 35-yard touchdown to him. It strikes me that when Aaron Jones says nothing's changed, it seems kind of personal. Like he's been the engine to this offense for a while now. Last year, mm-hmm. certainly without Devontae Adams. I think you could even argue when they had Devontae Adams, they often went as Aaron Jones went, and he's still the engine to this offense. That has not changed. It also strikes me, Aaron Jones was the first teammate to go out to Southern California this offseason. He connected with Jordan Love as soon as Aaron Rodgers said that he's playing for the Jets this year. And when he was out there for those private workouts, he was working predominantly as running through the entire route tree as a receiver and not a running back. I said it all through camp. I think Aaron Jones is going to set a career high for receiving this season. 2 catches for 86 yards today. He's off to a good start along that path. The Jordan Love's ability to hit checkdowns, it directly translates to Aaron Jones getting the ball out of the backfield. You saw that on the short 4th and 3 touchdown pass. He's going to be as important as a receiver as he is as a running back and running the football this season. And through one game, leading receiver, he might – we'll see. You know, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs will have something to say about it, but he'll be right up there as one of the Packers' leading receivers this season, not just as a rusher.
Spoon, the flip side of that.
Let me add to that. He's got to stay healthy. What did he say about his hamstring? I wasn't around him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I asked him about that specifically. He said, and Matt LaFleur mentioned that hopefully it's just cramps. He said that he felt it bite a little bit. He watched that touchdown run at the goal line. He reached back to his left hamstring with his left hand. He said that he's pulled his hamstring before, and it's nothing like that. He said that if the score wasn't out of hand, he would have gone back in the game. Now, I think the Packers will evaluate how that hamstring feels Monday morning. I think that it wouldn't be surprising to me if they limited him in practice this week just to keep him fresh in their hopes for Sunday. But it does seem like it was minor. You're absolutely right, Spoon. And Matt LaFleur mentioned that managing Aaron Jones is going to be important. That's why he only had 11 touches, 127 yards on those 11 touches. So on average, every time he had the ball in his hands, it was a first down. But it is something that is forefront of their minds as a coaching staff, is managing him and keeping him healthy.
Spoon, the flip side of that, A.J. Dillon, 13 rushes, 19 yards. He averaged 1.5 yards per carry. At one point, I think he had lost more yards than he had gained. We heard from him this offseason, from Matt LaFleur, his position coach, about him needing to find, you know, that low center of gravity again. It seemed like he wasn't getting any ground today. And this is not going to be the toughest defensive front they face by a mile. At what point do you get concerned if you're the Packers?
Well, not after one game. I think he did not look good. But, you know, part of what we don't know is how many of those runs were designed for Aaron Jones, you know, going into the game. I'm sure he had his package of runs that they wanted to get him on, and maybe they just weren't blocked well this week. Maybe next week they're blocked better, or he has a different package of runs. But yeah, I think given his struggles and just not being the finishing strong last year, I think that's gonna kind of dog him until he has a really big game. And so, you know, I was thinking that if Jones was going to be out, that, you know, Dylan would be the starter, but they would bring Emmanuel Wilson out there because they're going to need some speed to go with him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he winds up starting to get some carries after a while, because maybe to replace Jones when they need speed, because Dylan's not just not that kind of guy. And they seem to be better when they have a speed guy back there.
That in mind, just a small note, because I want to get y'all's opinion on this, if there's anything to this. Patrick Taylor was elevated practice squad elevation for the game day. He got in, I think he had like five rushes. Yeah, five rushes for 22 yards. Emmanuel Wilson was inactive. Both of those things separately, Patrick Taylor being elevated or Emmanuel Wilson being inactive, wouldn't have stood out to me. But the fact that they were together, I guess, is what makes me wonder, like, why do that? If you need to get Emmanuel Wilson game action, like, why do that this week?
Well, you don't. You don't need to get him game action. You needed Patrick Taylor to play special teams. He's one of your best special teams players. Okay. He's on the practice squad. They, you know, they didn't go in here thinking that they needed Emmanuel Wilson with Aaron Jones and E.J. Dillon healthy. Maybe if Aaron Jones is banged up next week or they don't feel like he can play a whole ton or can't play at all, then Emmanuel Wilson will be active. But Patrick Taylor brings, you know, a real physical aspect to their special teams. And eventually he's going to be on the 53. You know, they get three free passes with him. But I think he proves over and over again that he's a good special teams player and needs to be on the 53.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I'll add on the Emmanuel Wilson side, Emmanuel Wilson really isn't on this 53 for this season. Mostly, maybe he factors in at some point this season. I don't have a crystal ball, but the thinking there is he showed a little something as a runner during the preseason, led the NFL in preseason rushing yards. And this is a running back tandem with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, who both might be entering their final year with the Packers. The Packers saved $12 million on the cap, and it sounds crazy to say on a day like today, but they saved $12 million on the cap if they release Aaron Jones next year before his final year of his contract, and A.J. Dillon's in the final year of his contract. So Emmanuel Wilson put good film on the field in preseason, and they didn't want to, because of his potential, they wanted to give him more time and ensure that they had more time with him to evaluate to see if he works in the plans for 2024. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Keeping him on the 53 allowed them the time to do that instead of subjecting him to waivers. So it's a lot of going into the season, a lot of ways it's a redshirt year for him, and to Spoon's point, Patrick Taylor, special teams.
Yeah,
but I think he's going to have to play. I just think that's the nature of running backs, is that they get hurt. And I think at some point that he will play, you know, the week that Aaron Jones's hamstring is hurting or A.J. Dillon rolls his ankle or something. I would have been really interested to see what he did on that bootleg screen across the side of the field that Aaron Jones blew up for 51 yards. I mean, he would have been perfect for that kind of a play. So I agree that initially they brought him up for reasons of just stashing him. But, you know, the more I thought about it is like, you know, in the NFL, these guys get hurt. Running backs get hurt. And at some point, he's going to have to be ready to play.
Yeah. Okay. All interesting points. And that does answer my question as well. Let's move outwards a little bit to the receivers. Of course, as we said, no Christian Watson today. Romeo Doubs comes up with two touchdowns that, you know, as we said, both huge touchdowns, kind of showed why he's so valuable to Jordan Love as well. That he can just always be counted on, or Love can always count on him. Seemed, at least in my opinion, so I want to get y'all's, very much a rookie performance from some of the guys. Not bad. Some promising things, but nobody that was like immediately like, oh, this kid's going to be rookie of the year. Is that kind of the sense y'all got from, you know, Jaden Reed, Dontayvion Wicks, Luke Musgrave, so on. Ryan?
Yeah, I just find it fascinating. We saw today how young this team is. I mean, it seemed like almost every other play I was rattling off. This is a first career for so-and-so. First career reception today for Luke Musgrave, for Jaden Reed. First career sack for Lucas Van Ness. First career sack for Carl Brooks. First career field goal for Anders Carlson. Everyone knows Jordan Love is young and that he is new. But the entire team is young and new. It's an incredibly young team. And I'll tell you that of all the firsts today, the one that really stood out to me was Lucas Van Ness chasing down Justin Fields from behind for his first career sack. He was drafted because he's an athlete. He tested very well, and he showed it. When you can chase down Justin Fields from behind, that's pretty athletic. Because say what you want about Justin Fields as a quarterback, he's a great athlete. So I didn't feel like we saw all that much from Lucas Van Ness in his first training camp. What was his 9th NFL snap? He sacks Justin Fields. That's a really positive sign for the first round pick.
When he made that play, I couldn't help myself. I said out loud, I said, that's the most impressive play he's made since he's been in Green Bay. Yeah. So, and especially in that situation, because the Bears were on 2nd and goal from the 4, and he sacks him for an 8-yard loss. And then they stand up. Russell Douglas breaks up the pass on 3rd down as well, holds them to a field goal. You know, anytime they're in a goal to go and you hold them to a field goal, I feel like that's a win for the defense. That being said, let's actually switch to the defense. They talked all offseason about playing aggressive, but talk is just talk until you do something. And again, the caveat that this is just week 1, but it seemed so much more physical than what we've seen from them in recent, games. I asked Russell Douglas about it after the game, and he said, yeah, this is a whole different defense we're playing this year than last year. He also gave a lot of credit to Joe Barry. He said Joe Barry was finally calling the defense the way they want to play it. I guess my question is, what took it so long, or should the coach be acquiescing to the players or not? Is this defense that you saw today, how much do you take it with a grain of salt versus how much is it sustainable, Spoon?
To me, it always starts out with what you have up front. And I think athletically, that's the best front they've had in probably since Super Bowl years. I mean, think about who you were playing with. You know, Lowry's a all hustle, terrific guy. And but they could never get him to play with just abandon and nastiness, And Jerron Reed last year had some nice plays here, and some pass rush, but he wasn't eating up double teams like TJ Slayton is. Mm-hmm. He isn't, running stunts with Kenny Clark, who's no longer getting double teamed because they got a double team Slayton in the middle. Mm-hmm. I just think that's the whole change, and it changes everything you can do with the defense now, because you can put pressure. That they went after Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Kenny Clark put it, they didn't rush him scared. They just went. And, they had to keep their gaps and everything like that, but they were coming up the middle and really being aggressive. And so I think that's where it starts. And then, the secondary played pretty well, and then that allows the defensive front to get to them. Anyway, I thought they played very aggressively, and I don't know if it's, I don't know what Joe Barry's calling. I don't know, because they were successful, Douglas might feel like he called everything great, and then next week they stink, and he's going to think that they didn't call it right. But what they did today was combine a decent game plan with really good performance.
How about this? How about the fact that 4 different Packers players had at least a half sack today, and not any of them were Rashawn Gary? That That's pretty good. You know, Rashawn Gary played today. He's on the pitch count. He's not Rashawn Gary yet. He's not going to be for a little while. But you want to talk about depth of talent on that defensive front? That's depth. Mm-hmm. And eventually, Rashawn Gary is going to be Rashawn Gary again. You add that to what they have. Devontae Wyatt, a sack and a half today. We all of us saw it in camp. He seemed like a different player. He was getting exclusively first-team reps. He was on the top of everyone's list of potential breakout players this year. Sack and a half today, he had a sack and a half his entire rookie season. That's a really good start to a second year for Devontae Wyatt. So when they had Rashawn Gary to that mix, they got some guys that can get after the quarterback. And, yeah, it's more depth than they've had on their defensive front in a very, very long time.
Did you see what you thought you would see? And Spoon, I'm going to pose this to you first. By putting T.J. Slayton, Devontae Wyatt inside, I mean, as you said, they were drawing double teams. Devontae Wyatt got into the backfield. Did all of that correlate itself to seeing what you thought you would see by them moving Kenny Clark more outside because Slayton was able to play the nose?
Yeah. I think that opened up Kenny Clark for a lot of opportunity. But it's, you know, those guys, they can do a lot of different things that guys they had before couldn't. You know, when they slant and take out, you know, a offensive lineman that's standing right in front of Kenny Clark or in front of Quay Walker, or they're taking a guy out that, you know, is a possible blocker for one of their teammates, that's a huge play. And because of their size and their speed and their get off, they were playing what I thought was a pretty bad offensive line. And even though they have two, you know, first round draft pick at right tackle, Lucas Patrick was their center. I mean, you know, he wasn't starting caliber in Green Bay, so how is he starting caliber here 2 years later? They worked him, and they worked Cody Whitehair a little bit, and they're going to face better offensive lines than that. So we'll see. I thought they set the tone, and, you know, each week it's going to probably get tougher. And so we'll see what they do the next time.
I want to get y'all's opinion on this too. During the Quay Walker pick six, it was like Justin Fields was throwing the ball right to him. So he picks it off around the 42-yard line. He starts to run straight, and then he bounces out, and he takes it around the edge. During that return, which is what happens, I guess, sometimes when it's defense, but Quay Walker's pretty fast. But during that return, I had enough time to think about the fact, this would be interesting, pick up my phone, open the camera. I mean, it took forever. Did you think he was ever going to make it to the end zone during that whole return, Spoon?
Oh, when I'm watching it, I'm going, they got to put this guy on offense. I mean, he was breaking tackles right and left. Spin moves. I mean, he's fast. You know, it did take time, but that's because he's weaving all around guys. I honestly was thinking maybe a kickoff or maybe a tight end. You know, they get a little, you know, short on tight ends because he's a big physical, you know, all-out runner. And then he probably figured, I never want to play offense after he got clocked at the goal line. I mean, that guy just drilled him. I'm sure his thoughts of playing offense just faded away after taking that hit.
That play took so long, I thought it was over. I didn't realize it was still going. I was, oh, the play's still happening. Like, that's how long it took. And sure enough, he ended in the end zone. You're right, Cassie. It was thrown right to him. But how many times last year did we see Quay Walker drop picks? Mm-hmm. I mean, over and over and over again. The return wasn't surprising to me. He's an athletic specimen, and that's why he's drafted in the first round. We've known that guy's got quick bursts. He's a tremendous athlete. But he finally caught an interception. Like, that happened the entire rookie season. That's not something that he was able to do. So that's a big step in the right direction for him, even if the ball was thrown right at him. I think it also needs to be said about this when it comes to the defense. They brought it today. this was a tremendous performance for them. They really held the water in that first half as Jordan Love and the offense were getting on track, holding the Bears to two field goals in the first half. That early, that initial statement, having the third and one and the fourth and one and getting the stop to open the game, tremendous early statement. They're going to face not just much better offensive lines, but much better quarterbacks throughout this season. I go back to today showed me more about the Bears than I really learned about the Packers. Justin Fields, going into his third year, does not look like the guy. He's a tremendous athlete. He's 28 career starts in now, and he as a playing the quarterback position, he's just not there. They're going to play much better quarterbacks as this season progresses. That's when it's going to be the real test for them. Get quarterbacks that aren't going to throw the football directly to your inside linebacker down the field. But I mean, it's a good first step, but I want to see them against much better quarterbacks than Justin Fields.
One other note on Quay Walker, just something I want to bring up real quick. The Packers got 9 penalties today for 90 yards, and I need to go through the play-by-play and actually take note of how many of those were after the play penalties because of pushing and shoving, and there was a whole scuffle on the Bears sideline at one point. One player who was never in the middle of that was Quay Walker, and that was something that he talked a lot this offseason about really, really working on. But when that scuffle happened on the Bears sideline and Jair Alexander and I think it was Mooney sort of got into it back and forth, I mean, that's almost the exact situation that Quay Walker was in at the Bills last year, you know, where somebody was just pulling people out of the way and he lost his cool. And so, I mean, again, it's just week one, but I think that it stood out, at least to me, that in so many different little scuffles on defense today, Quay Walker was never in the middle of it. Maybe he just purposely removed himself from that situation. So, anyway.
One other note on the defense that worth keeping an eye on is I thought Rudy Ford was not acceptable, you know, in his performance. I thought he overran some plays. He looked stiff again. At that position could be the Achilles heel for them this year. I, you know, kind of thought they could cover it up. Savage, I thought, played a really good game. He ran, he was abandoned. You know, he didn't hesitate on anything. But that other safety position could wind up really, really hurting them. And I think they're going to have to keep considering people, you know, whether it's a trade, whether it's picking someone off the street. You know, Rudy Ford's a really good special teams player, but I just don't think he has the bend and elasticity in his body to be a really good safety.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to talk about safety in the secondary as well. Darnell Savage was actually the leading tackler. He finished with 10 tackles. Rasul Douglas was the second leading tackler with 8. Keyshawn Nixon third with 7. Darnell Savage was just a missile at times, it seemed today, and wrapped up well. You know, there were times last year where they were counting missed tackles in a game because it was so prevalent and standing out. But he, as you said, Spoon, he can't handle that back end on his own. Do you, until you start bringing other people in, do you put Jonathan Owens in there just to see if there's maybe something there in a game?
Oh, I wouldn't bench Rudy Ford after one game, but I think it just is an example of what the limitations are with him. I think he's going to be a good round-the-box kind of player, but, you know, open field, he just can't really break down and shift the way like a Darnell Savage can or other safeties can. So I don't know. I don't know whether Jonathan Owens is the answer. Anthony Johnson, I mean, they're playing every other rookie. Why not give him a shot? I don't know. But, yeah, I think they're going to have to do something. If they're going to be, like, in the run, if they wind up being a team that they think has a chance to make the playoffs, then they got to find a solution there.
Ryan, I was about to call on you because I saw your hand raised, but I know what you're about to say.
What am I about to say, Cassidy?
That the starting safety for next to Darnell Savage is already on this roster.
You know, two words, Rasul Douglas.
I think Quay Walker. I'm just kidding.
Hey, he played a good deep center field there, didn't he? We've talked about it a lot, but it's not Rudy Ford. I don't think it's Jonathan Owens. Carrington Valentine, I don't know what snap count was, but he was out there certainly in dime today. He's a seventh round rookie. I don't know if he's ready to go out there and play 60, 70 snaps right now, but he might be at some point this season. If they're going to fix that position, I don't see any other way other than Rasul Douglas. I don't know that it exists. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. I just don't see it.
Spoon, are you on the Rasul train yet?
I think they're going to look around first, see what they can find, see if there's somebody available. I mean, I've seen this before. You know, coaches get this in their mind that a guy is more valuable in one spot than the other. I don't know what they do with Eric Stokes when he comes back. I mean, is he just going to be a nickel or what? He's a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. So then what do you do with Douglas? Or what do you do with Keyshawn Nixon? Maybe Alexander goes into the slot and Keyshawn Nixon gets benched. I mean, he got beat for a touchdown today.
All over the place.
I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm not confident they're going to move Rasul Douglas.
I'm not either, just for the record. But mm-hmm. And I say internal. Externally, yeah, I think they're going to look around because I don't think they're going to move him. But I get why they're not going to move. He played well of a game today. He's a darn good perimeter cornerback. And having him and Jaire Alexander on your perimeter is really a nice perk for defense. I understand the logic. I just see a massive hole at safety. I don't know how they're going to fill it.
Spoon, you said bench Keyshawn. You benching him just for giving up that touchdown? Because he seemed to kind of be all over the place to me other than that. Which, I mean, not that that's acceptable to give that up, but he was where the ball was and I think dropped him for even a loss or very, very short gains several times.
Well, if you're going to put Eric Stokes in the lineup, you got to move people around, and he would be the first one out. So if Jaire Alexander moves to the slot, then someone has to go to the bench, and it would be him.
Could he play safety?
I don't know. He's been training so much at slot, I just don't see it.
Yeah. They did play dime at one point today with Carrington Valentine on the field. So something to continue to watch as well. Anything else on defense before I move on to special teams? Okay. As we said, Anders Carlson with a 57-yard field goal. And we know he has the leg, but the accuracy was pretty on point too. It was a little bit more on point than I thought it would be. Daniel Whelan's first punt was – kind of but then after that, we saw that booming leg that we saw all through training camp as well. We talked about these two rookies coming in on special teams as well and sort of figuring out these stadiums, especially these stadiums around the Great Lakes that are a little bit more difficult to play in. Spoon, first takeaway of Daniel Whelan's rookie debut. And I think he became the first Irish-born football player to start a game in the NFL with this debut today.
Yeah, supposedly. I mean, I don't know who keeps that record, but
there's a little elf in the basement at ESPN.
He couldn't have had a better day. I mean, it was a beautiful day. The wind was 7 miles per hour. I mean, it was perfect. He kicked two into the end zone, and he can't do that. You know, he's got to keep the touchbacks at a minimum. Otherwise, he did about what we saw in training camp. You know, that first one wasn't great, but, you know, he boomed some. Carlson, I thought, did a really nice job. Now, I'm not sure why his kickoffs didn't get into the end zone. I'm not sure if the wind was blowing in their face on that side, because I fully expected him to kick every single one out of the end zone. But maybe they were trying to kick to the one. I don't know. Maybe they thought that they could keep them inside the 25.
Ryan, is it time to dispel of the notion that Anders Carlson is not the solution at kicker? Did the lights just go out on you?
Yeah, it's time to turn the lights back on. I know that.
Maybe that's our sign to go home.
I don't think I learned anything about Anders Carlson today one way or the other. We all knew that he was going to make the roster, and they're going to be patient with him for a good reason. He's incredibly talented. He has a booming leg. He made that 52-yard field goal on a high snap that Daniel Whelan handled very well, look easy. And there's not a lot of – especially on that type of – with that type of snap, there's not a lot of kickers with the leg talent to make it look easy. He did. When you have a rookie kicker who's making two-thirds of his kicks in camp, that's a problem. But over the long haul, you figure that that talent will win out. It usually does in this league at every position. For today, it looked really good, and we'll see where he goes from here. He's got a really talented leg. He needs to stay as consistent as he was today. If he does, Packers might have one of the best kickers in the league on their hands. If he doesn't, they have a problem.
Well, the lights going out on you tells me it's time to start landing this plane. One thing that I want to do possibly this year, I don't know, we'll see how this goes and decide whether or not to keep it for the next episode or not. Each give me your most impressive play of the day. Like, what was the play that made you go, whoa? And then the play that was like, eesh. Those are both technical terms, by the way, whoa and eesh. Whoever thinks of theirs first. I'll start with mine. I think my most impressive play of the day, and I go back and forth between Lucas Van Ness and this touchdown, but I think I'm going to go with the touchdown. Jordan Love's first touchdown to Romeo Doubs. It was not that – I think it was like a four-yard touchdown. It was not that far. But what was the impressive part about it, did y'all see this? He double-pumped it. That's a vet little move right there, to kind of fake out the defense and double pump that and still get it to Romeo Doubs as he comes across the back of the end zone. That those little things like that are what make me think like he's got a decent size career in front of him. And then my most ish play was probably the miss on the deep ball to Luke Musgrave. But again, I want to go back and watch that and kind of see exactly what happened on that play. Anybody else have a play?
I thought that the fumbled snap and the presence of mind to get it out to Musgrave was pretty good play. To know that was the place to go was smart on his part. You know, he didn't panic and knew that's where the ball was supposed to go, and he looks up and the guy's standing there all by himself. So that was a pretty impressive play. The worst play to me was Devondre Campbell pulling that guy off the pile and costing 15 yards and 3 points, because he should know better than that. That's an established rule now that you can't pull guys off the pile. So that was a really dumb penalty, and you'd kind of expect more from him. So that kind of surprised me.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, the only play today that I thought Jordan Love definitely wanted back was missing the touchdown to Luke Musgrave, and he just missed it. That was my read on it. My most impressive play, probably the hitting Musgrave off the fumble snap. I'm going to give – early in the game, there was a 2nd and 2. It was an incomplete pass. And it's not a play that I don't know if either of you or anyone will remember, but for me, it really stood out. It was 2nd and 2, the opening drive from the Bears' 12-yard line. And Love I think, rolled to the right, had nothing downfield, absolutely nothing. He had nothing on the play except field goal range. He had points there at the 12-yard line. And instead of panicking, instead of forcing something that wasn't there, instead of doing what a lot of young quarterbacks do and flirting with the turnover, he takes his time. He's composed and patient, poised. And he throws an incomplete pass to Dontayvion Wicks, who was covered. But he put it in a place that no Bears defender had a chance at picking the ball off. Low percentage throw because he was covered. There was nothing downfield. But he wasn't flirting with turning the ball over in that situation. And I remember watching that. I was like, okay, you know, because a lot of young quarterbacks there, they might try to make something out of nothing. And Jordan Love just kind of took the nothing. And if he can continue doing that as a first-year starter – That's impressive for a young guy at that position. So again, not a play that jumps off the box score, the play by play at all, but an incomplete pass when nothing was there and just taking the nothing and living for another play, I thought was pretty impressive. They get a touchdown on the drive, you know. If he throws a pick there, they don't.
Yeah. The swing pass to Aaron Jones that he took for 50 plus yards, he threw it off one foot as he was falling backwards. So that was a little impressive as well. Guys, it's time to head back to Green Bay and then gear up for week 2 versus the Atlanta Falcons. So we're going to go ahead and say good night here. You'll probably be listening to this on Monday morning. And so just keep in mind, we will have Matt LaFleur Monday afternoons. We'll have coverage from that as well. And we will have even more wrap-up coverage from the Packers' 38-20 Week 1 win over the Bears. Guys, you got any final words you want to say to sign us off?
Nope.
Boone says, get me home.
Soldier Field is not Motel 6. They will not leave the light on for you.
No, they won't. You know what? This happened to us here last year, too. I don't know if y'all remember this. The lights went off on us last year when we were doing the podcast, too. It's definitely our cue to go home. We're going to do that now. Thanks so much, guys. As always, this has been the Green 19 Podcast from JS Online at PackageNews.com.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.